السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. So coming to the end of the discussion of Qiyas now, the Musannif rahmatullahi alayhi says, بيان الوجوه الثمانية في دفع القياس. This is the most example is Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi has some kind of Qiyas. Okay, and he bases a certain ruling based on a Qiyas. And we don't agree with his opinion. Okay, we don't agree with that opinion. So how do we respond to that qiyas? Yeah, how do we debate with that qiyas? So this part of the kitab is, you could say, related to debate and munazara in a certain manner. So number one, al-mumana'a. What is al-mumana'a? Is defined in the kitab. مفاعلة من المنع. So from a sarf point of view, ممانعة is the word منعة on the scale of مفاعلة. And منعة means, or منع means to stop something, to prevent. وهي عدم قبول دليل مستدل كلا أو بعضا. So ممانعة is to not accept the proof of the Mustadil, the one deriving the proof, meaning our counterparts, kullan aw ba'dan, wholly or partially. وهي نوعان, and this is also two types, man'u al-illah. The first one is man'u al-illah, where we don't accept the illah. Okay, so they put forward a certain ruling based on a certain illah. We say we don't agree with the illah, therefore we don't agree with the ruling either. قول الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى لا إمام شافعي رحمه الله عليه said صدقة الفطر وجبت بالفطر. The صدقة الفطر becomes incumbent due to fitr. صدقة الفطر, the amount that is given at the end of Ramadan, okay, for as a sadaqah, as a charity, is wajib. Now, if a person becomes Muslim or becomes baligh on that night, okay, on the first night of Shawwal, so Ramadan has just ended, okay, with sunset, we've completed our final fast, and the following morning is going to be Eid al-Fitr. And somebody becomes Muslim at that time, or a child becomes mature, well, for a child, not so much, because the parents would normally pay. But, and on the other way around, if somebody dies in that night, so would they need to pay Sadaqatul Fitr or not? In other words, what is the time which is considered for Sadaqatul Fitr being wajib? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says, it is sunset when the first of Shawwal starts. In other words, as soon as you break your last fast of Ramadan, at that time, Sadaqatul Fitr becomes wajib. So if somebody is alive at that time, and they die during the night, then Sadaqatul Fitr was incumbent upon them, so it should be paid from their tarakah if they made wasiyah. Okay. Imam Hanif rahmatullah alayhi says, the Sadaqatul Fitr becomes wajib in the morning. Okay, so normally we eat our sahri in the morning, suhoor, and then we start our fast at Subh al-Sadiq, Tulu al-Fajr. So at that time, Sadaqatul Fitr becomes wajib. Only if the person is alive at that time, they should pay Sadaqatul Fitr. Now, Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ali says the illat is fitr. What does fitr mean? Fitr means to not fast. Okay, that's what we call al-iftar. the meal or when you break the fast. So fitr means not fasting. So Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi says that you stop fasting at sunset because the final fast breaks then. Okay? Therefore, fitr is the illah, and as a result of that, at that time, Sadaqatul Fitr becomes wajib. Yeah. Our answer to that, one answer is some in some books it's written that we do fitr at that time every day. Nobody fasts at night anyway. It's only the next morning that you notice the difference, okay, where you would have been fasting but you don't fast. But okay, that answer has not been mentioned here. Over here, it completely dismisses the illah. That is not the illah. It's not about fitr. Yeah. Just because it's called Sadaqatul Fitr doesn't mean the time has to be when you break the fast. So Imam Shafi'i Abdul Ali is saying the fitr became wajib, Sadaqatul Fitr became wajib due to the breaking of the fast. Fitr. Therefore, it will not be waived by dying in the night of fitr. Qulna, we say, La nusallimu wujubaha bil fitr. We do not accept that it becomes wajib due to fitr. بل تجب برأس يمونه ويلي عليه. Rather, it becomes wajib due to an individual, okay, a living person. رأس is majaz for a person. For individual person who whose expenditure he pays and who he takes care of. Meaning, any person who is alive and you are responsible for them, you are also responsible for their Sadaqatul Fitr. So first of all, every mature adult is in charge of himself, so he should pay for himself. Also, his wife, his children, even a small baby, a father should pay Sadaqatul Fitr for. So over here, we don't accept the illat. Number two is Manu al-Hukm. Qawlihi bi masi al-Ra's. So Manu al-Hukm means we accept the illat, but we don't agree with the Hukm. Okay, in the last one, we didn't agree with them in the illat at all. So it's manu al-illah. Over here, we agree with them on the illah, but we don't accept the hukm, the ruling which is derived as a result of the illah. Qawlihi fi masḥ al-ra's, like Imam Shafi'i says in masḥ al-ra's, innahu ruknun fi sunn lasithu kal-ghasl. Then, wiping the head is a rukn, so it is sunnah to wash it three. To wipe it three times, just like in washing. Okay. This is one opinion in the Shafi'i madhab, but the a preferred opinion, even with Shafi'is, is the masah of head is only once. But there was one riwayat of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi that is three times, wiping of the head in wudu. So, based on that opinion, they say that look, we do qiyas that we wash the arms, the face, the feet three times each. So, also, wiping of the head should be three times. Qulna, we say, La nusallimu anna al-masah we don't accept that the sunnah in washing is three times. بل المسنون هو الإكمال بعد الفرض. Rather, the masnoon is to complete it further after the farḍ, meaning to do something extra. Okay. So the point over here is that in washing the arms, for example, it's farḍ to wash the whole arm once, and the sunnah is to go above the farḍ. So that's why the hadith says that in Hidayah, the famous hadith, Rasulullah did wuzu once. He said, "This is the wuzu through which salah is not accepted." And he would wuzu twice, and then he washed everything twice, twice. And then he said, "This is the wuzu, whoever does this wuzu, they will get double the ajr." And then he did wuzu again, and he washed everything three times. He said, "Hada wuzu'i wa wuzu al-anbiya'i min qabli." This is my wuzu and the wuzu of the prophets before me. This is narrated in Hidayah. So the purpose is to do more than the necessary amount. Now, when it comes to Mas'h al-Ra's, Shafi'iyah and Hanafiyah agreed that the whole head does not have to be wiped. Okay, the farz is to only wipe a portion of the head. For Shafi'iyah, three heads. For Hanafiyah, quarter head. So, based on this, if you do Mas'h of the whole head once, you've done something extra. Okay, so, so we agree on the illat that it is a rukn, and therefore it should be like other arkan. But we don't agree that the hukm of it being rukn is it should be three times. Rather, the hukm of it being a rukn is that there should be ikmal ba'd al-fard There should be something additional and extra. Okay, like the hadith says, "Fawansha afalyutil." So itala is the hukam, and in ghusl, itala is not possible unless you wash it more than once. So we do the odd number, which is three. But in mashur ras, itala is possible without wiping three times, because even if you do it once, you've done more than the farz. Number two, al qawlu bi mujibil illah. وهو تسليم العلة وبيان أن حكمها غير ما ادعاه المستدل. The القول بموجب العلة is to accept the علة and to explain that its ruling is something other than what the مستدل, what the our counterpart, the one who took the lead from it, is claiming. قول زفر رحمه الله الملفق غاية فلا تدخل في المغيّة. The Imam Zufar رحمه الله عليه says that the elbow is a limit. Therefore, it should not enter into the mughayya, into the thing whose limit. Qulna hiya ghayatu saqit. We say that it is a limit for the saqit amount, the amount that is not included. Dun al maghsul, not the wash part. Fatadkhulu fil mughayya. Therefore, it should be included in the mughayya, the perimeter of the amount which is. The thing whose ghayat is being mentioned. Okay, in simple terms, when we do wudu, Allah Ta'ala says, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and your hands up to the elbows. So, are the elbows included or not? So, there's a detailed discussion on this, that is the ghayat included or not, and we indicated towards it in the discussion of ila amongst the huruf al-mabani. Okay. The point here is, let's agree for now that the ghayat should not be included in the mughayya. Okay, the ghayat should not be included. So, Imam Zufar says, because the ghayat should not be included, you don't need, and the elbow is the ghayat, is the limit, so you don't need to wash it. So we say that in fact, the elbow is the limit for what's after it, meaning the shoulder. In other words, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said, فَغْسِلُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, wash your arms. Okay, the word aidi, yadun, could mean just hand, or it could mean arm as well. So, wash your arms, then that would be up to the shoulder. So the purpose of saying إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ is to say, don't wash up to the shoulder, don't wash your, you know, your upper arm, the biceps, just wash up to the elbow. So, it's to say that the elbow is not included in the part which does not need to be washed. Therefore, the elbow does need to be washed. Number three is al-qalb. Qalb literally means to flip something over. So it's of two types. Huwa naw'an. Qalb al-illati hukman wal hukmi illatan. To turn the illah into a hukam and the hukam into a illah. Okay, the opposition say something is the illah and something, and as a result, this is the hukam. We say actually, what you're saying is the illah is the hukam. And what you're saying the hukam is actually the illah. Qawli al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, like Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, يَحْرُمُ بَيْعُ الْحَفْنَةِ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ وَالْحَفْنَةِ مِنْهِ. It is haram to sell one handful of wheat in exchange for two handfuls of wheat. Okay? The Hanafi mazhab is that in less than one sa', in those things in which if you explain, if you exchange them in equal measure, then they are there is riba. It's only if it's more than half a sa', in less than half a sa'. So a handful, two handfuls, these are less than half a sa'. Therefore, there is no riba in there. You can exchange a small, you know, a few grams of 20, 30 grams of wheat for 40 grams of wheat, for example, but not a large amount. Why? So the Shafi'iyah say that it's haram. Now, the reason they give, لأن جريان الربا في الكثير يجب جريانه في القليل كالأثمان, because the appliance of riba in a large amount necessitates it's happening or is occurring in a small amount, just like in gold and silver. Athman, thaman, currencies or gold and silver. Qulna la. We say no. So over here, Imam Shafi rahmatullah is saying that jarayan riba fil kathir is the illah, and the hukam of that is jarayanu fil qalil. We say no, it's the other way around. La bal jarayanu fil qalil yujibu jarayanu fil kathir kal athman. Rather, its occurrence in small amounts necessitates its occurring in large amounts, like in gold and silver. It's the other way around. That what you said, jari'anhu bil qalil was the hukam. We say that's the illah, and you said jari'anhu bil kathir is the illah. We say that's the hukam. Now, when something is the hukam, then it can't be illah at the same time. Therefore, it's the other way around. It's to what you said. Yeah. And the second type is qalbu illat al hukm illat li dhidd dhalik al hukm. Like I said, qalb means to flip something. So to turn the illat of the hukam into the illat for the opposite of that hukam. We agree with the reason, but we say because of this reason, the opposite hukam should occur. قول الشافعي رحمه الله الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله عليه said صوم رمضان صوم فاضل فيشترط له التعيين كالقضاء. The fasting of Ramadan is a fard fasting, so it is conditional to fix it just like qada. So you have to, on the second or third of Ramadan, you have to specify that I am fasting for Ramadan. Okay, in the Hanafi Mazhab, if you just make niyat of fasting and you don't specify that you are fasting for Ramadan, then that will class as the fasting of Ramadan. Qulna, so Imam Shafi is doing qiyas on qada. Well, in qada, we both agree that if you miss the fast in Ramadan and you're making up for it later, then you can't just randomly wake up and intend a fast and then later on say, oh, that was the fast of Ramadan. Okay? Before you start the fast, you must specify that it's the fast of Qada'u Ramadan. So he says, look, in Qada'u Ramadan, you have to specify. So in Ramadan, you should specify. So our answer to that is that there's a difference. Because when you're doing Qada'u, it's randomly throughout the year. So there's possibility of keeping another fast. You may decide to keep a nafal fast and keep qada later. When it comes to Ramadan, it's not permissible to keep any other fast. Therefore, there's no need to specify. قلنا, we say, هو صوم فرض فلا يشترط له التعيين بعد تعيين الشرعي. That this is a fard fast. So there is no condition, there is no need to put the condition of specifying after the Shariat has already specified it. Okay? This kal qada'i ba'da ta'yin min al-'abd, just like qada' after ta'yin from the slave. In other words, we agree with you that ta'yin is needed. In both cases, ta'yin is needed. Right? So we agree with you on that. The difference is that in qada' there is no ta'yin from Shariat, therefore, the person needs to do ta'yin and specify himself. But when it comes to Ramadan, Shara' and Shariat has already done the ta'yin. So if Shariat has done ta'yin, then there's no need for further ta'yin. Number four, al-aks. Aks means opposite, the mirror image of something, the opposite of something. So, huwa raddul hukmi ala khilafi sananihi al-awwal. It is to reverse the ruling it is to reverse the ruling to the contrary of its original, I'm not sure what Sanan over here refers to. Allahu A'lam. بقول الشافعي رحمه الله الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله says لا تجب الزكاة في حلي النساء كثياب البذرة. قلنا فلا تجب في حلي الرجال أيضا كثياب البذرة. Yeah. So this ruling is mentioned, is explained here. وعرفه في أصول الشاشي بقوله أن يتمسك السائل بأصل المعلل على وجه يكون المعلل مضطرا إلى وجه المفارقة بين الأصل والفرع. That you, there is a maqis and maqis عليه. So you mention such a feature in relation to them that the counterpart is forced to differentiate between the asl and the farq. And if you differentiate between the asl and the farq, then what happens? The qiyas is fasid. So, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that the zakat is not necessary in the jewelry of ladies, just like the clothes which they use. Okay. With regards to clothes, if you have clothes for just wearing, you don't need to pay zakat. But if you have clothes for business, you buy clothes with the intention of selling them, then you need to pay zakat. So, however, and that's agreed upon. But when it comes to jewelry, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali says the same, that if the jewelry is of gold or silver is for use as a currency, then you pay zakat on it. But if your gold and silver is used as jewelry for ladies to wear, then there's no zakat on there. So, but that's only for ladies. If a man owns jewelry and he wears it, he still has to pay zakat. So, we say, look, why the difference? In that case, it should not be necessary in the jewelry of men either, just like clothes of use. Meaning, if a man has clothes which he uses, he doesn't pay zakat on them, neither does the woman. See, why the difference between men and women in jewelry? We say that with regards to jewelries, the original purpose is to be a currency. So even if we use them as jewelry, of gold and silver, sorry. Even if you use them as jewelry, but because they are gold and silver, they are still treated as currency and zakat is wajib. Number five, fasad al-wada. وبيان كون العلة غير صالح للحكم. It is to explain that the illat is not appropriate for the hukm. قول الشافعي رحمه الله لا إمام شافعي رحمه الله عليه says إسلام أحد الزوجين يفسد النكاح كالتالي أحدهما. That if one of the spouses becomes Muslim, then it breaks the nikah. Just like if one of them was to become murtad. Okay? If you have a Muslim husband and wife, and one of them leaves Islam, then the nikah breaks straight away. So this is agreed upon. But if you have two non-Muslim husband wife, a non-Muslim couple, and one of them accepts Islam, okay, and in an impermissible way. So if they're Jew and Christian, and the man becomes Muslim, then it's not an issue. But if it's the other way around, or if they're Mushrik, and then what happens is one of them becomes Muslim. Now, in the Shafi'i Mazhab, as soon as one of them becomes Muslim and the other one does not, because of Tabayyun al-Deen, because their deen are separate, the nikah is not valid, so the nikah breaks. But in the Hanafi Mazhab, the nikah will not break immediately. Rather, what will happen is the other partner who is not a Muslim will be presented with Islam. They report to the judge, and the judge will, or the Muslim leaders will offer them the chance to accept Islam. And still, if they refuse, then the nikah will be considered as annulled and broken. So the reason we give is that you are saying that their nikah breaks because of Islam. But Islam is not something that breaks nikah. Islam is something that makes people join together, not break people up. Therefore, Islam is not an appropriate illah for fasadun nikah. Therefore, we say that the reason for the nikah breaking will be the other partner's refusal to accept. But that only happens after they are offered the chance to accept Islam. قُلْنَا الْإِسْلَامُ عُرِفَ عَاصِمًا لِلْحُقُوقِ. We say Islam is known to be a protector of rights. لَا رَافِعًا لَهُ. Not one that removes them. Number six, الْفَرْقِ. هُوَ بَيَانُ الْفَرْقِ بَيْنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. It is to show a difference between two matters. قَوْلِ شَافِي رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, تَجِبُ الزَّكَاةُ فِي مَالِ الصَّبِيِّ لِإِغْنَاءِ الْفَقِيرِ كَمَالِ الْبَالِغِ. That zakat is wajib in the wealth of a child in order to give wealth to the poor, just like in the wealth of the mature. Okay? Imam Shafi says, children should pay zakat on their money as well. Hanafiya say, don't, they don't. قُلْنَا وُجُوبُ الزَّكَاةِ عَلَى الْبَالِغِ لِتَطْهِيرِ الذُّنُوبِ. We say that the wujub of zakah on a baligh is to clean them, to purify them of sins. La li ighna' al faqir, not to make the poor rich. Faftaraqa, therefore they are different. So they're not the same. Number seven is an naql. Huwa bayanu takhalluf al hukmi an al illah. Naql is to show Oui. To show a contradiction, it is to show that the hukam falls behind from the illah, meaning it's not appropriate for the illah. Qawli Shafi'i rahimahullah, like Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, saying al-wudu'u taharatun fayushtaratu lahu an-niyyatu kat-tayammum, that wudu is a form of purification, so niyyah should be shart for it, just like in tayammum. Qulna, we say falimadha la tajibu fi ghasli thawbi wal badan, so why is it not necessary in washing of clothes and the body? Okay, if I have some blood on my hand and I wash it, I don't have to make intention that I'm purifying it. Just by washing it, it's clean. We all agree on this. That's also tahara. Okay, if I have some impurity on my clothes, I can just wash them. I don't need to intend that I'm washing them, and that's also tahara. Therefore, it's not correct to say that intention is needed for every kind of tahara. Then number eight, al-mu'arada. هي إقامة الدليل على خلاف ما أقام عليه الخصم الدليل. قول الشافعي رحمه الله المسح ركن في الوضوء فيسن تثليثه كالغسل. قلنا المسح ركن فلا يسن تثليثه كمسح الخف والتيمم. معارضة means to show conflict, where the objector brings proof which opposes what the claimant has presented. Okay, like Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi saying that wiping the head is a rukn in wudu. Rukn, a pillar, absolute obligation in wudu, is farad in wudu. Therefore, it is masnoon and sunnah to do it three times, like washing. So this example was already discussed earlier, but because the purpose of this chapter is how you can counter qiyas of others, so this is a different way of answering it. Qulna, so we would say, we can say to answer this, that masah is a rukn, so it should not be sunnah to do it three times, just like wiping of the khuf, the socks, and tayammum. So in tayammum, we don't wipe three times. When you do masah al khufain, you don't wipe three times. So then, why do you wipe three times on the head? Okay. So Imam Shafi is doing qiyas of masah on ghusl. And we're doing qiyas of masah on masah. So the masah on masah is closer than masah on ghasl. Then, al ahkam al wad'iyyah. Over here, some miscellaneous issues of usul al fiqh. So the subject of qiyas has come to a close. And now, this is some miscellaneous issues in relation to usul al fiqh in general. So, as-sababu wa shartu wal mani'. Sabab and shart and mani'. Sabab is what causes something to happen, and shart is something without which something can't happen, and mani' is an impediment which stops something from happening. So, wal hukmu kama yathbutu bi illatihi yata'allaqu bi sababihi. Just as a hukam is established through its illat, it is connected to its sabab. So, the illat is the cause, and the sabab is not the cause, but the sabab is what the hukam is attached to. You know, otherwise, what we can see as the apparent cause. وَيُجِدُ عِنْدَ شَرْطِهِ, and it is found by its shart. You can't have something without its conditions. If something has certain conditions, that means without those conditions, the thing can happen. Just like wudu is shart for salah. So you can't have salah without wudu. وَيَمْنَعُهُ الْمَانِعُ, and certain impediments can prevent it from happening. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ بَيَانِهَا, so it's necessary to explain each of them. فَالسَّبَبُ مَا يُوصِلُ إِلَى الشَّيْءِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَأْثِيرٍ فِيهِ. Sabab is something which takes to a certain thing without affecting it, meaning without complete effect. So the difference between illah and sabab is illah is a direct cause. When you have the illah, you must have that result of it, that specific result which is the illah for. Sabab is an indirect cause. It's not necessary that if you have the sabab, you must have that hukam. طَلِيكِ مُوصِلٌ إِلَى الْمَقْصَدِ, just like the path takes one to the purpose. وَالْحَبْلُ مُوصِلٌ إِلَى الْمَاءِ, and the rope on which the bucket is hung, is takes one to the water. So they are both sabab. وَالشَّرْطُ مَا لَا يَتِمُ الشَّيْءُ إِلَّا بِهِ, shart is something without which something cannot be completed. وَلَا يَكُونُ دَاخِلًا فِي مَاهِيَتِهِ, and it is not included in its origin. Kal-wudu'i li-salah, like wudu for salah. That wudu is not part of salah, but it's conditioned for salah. وَالْمَانِعُ مَا يَحُولُ دُونَ تَرَتُّبِ الْحُكْمِ مَعَ وُجُودِ السَّبَبِ. Mani is something which comes in between the occurrence of the hukam despite the cause being found. فَالْقَتْلِ مَانِعٌ لِلْأُلِثِ مَعَ وُجُودِ الْقَرَابَةِ. Just like murder or killing, whether it's murder or manslaughter, prevents inheritance despite there being a relation. Okay? So, the mas'ala is that if a person kills somebody who he inherits from, a person kills his own father, his own brother, he won't receive any inheritance from them because there's a chance that he may have killed them to get his inheritance early. So he won't receive any inheritance. So qarabat and relation is the sabab and irth is the hukam. When there is qarabat, then there should be irth. If there is a relationship, then there should be inheritance. However, qatl, the killing, is a mani'. That even though the sabab is there, the hukam does not occur due to this mani', preventer or impediment. بعض القواعد حول الحسب سبب والعلة. So some specific rulings with relation to sabab and illah. ما يتعلق بالعلة والسبب. إذا اجتمع سبب مع العلة يضاف لكم العلة من السبب. If the sabab and illah both gather, then the hukam should be attributed to the illah, not the sabab. Because the illah is closer, is direct, sabab is indirect, so we should attribute it towards the direct cause. كدلالة إنسان على مال إنسان ليسرقه فسرقه لا يضمن الدال. Like a person shows the wealth of another person to someone, okay, or like showing a person the wealth of another person so that he may steal it. Insan over here is the dalalah insan is after il maf'ul. Fasaraqahu, then he steals it. Okay, so one person said to another, look, there's this guy's money is under the seat, or he's hid his money in this place, and the other person steals it. So only the thief is responsible because he was the illah, the direct cause. And the one who showed him, he is the sabab, he's the indirect cause, he will not be held responsible for it. Meaning he will not, he may get some other punishment as the judge decides, but he won't be expected to, you know, pay that money back. The one who showed will not be liable. لأنه صاحب سبب لا صاحب علة. Because he is the person of sabab, not person of illah. He's a person of indirect cause, not direct cause. Number two, قد يكون السبب معنى العلة إذا ثبت العلة بالسبب. Sometimes the sabab is in the meaning of illah. Sometimes a indirect cause takes the status of direct cause. Because إذا ثبت العلة بالسبب, because the illah is established due to the sabab. You would never have had the illah without the sabab. فإضاف الحكم إليه, therefore the ruling is attributed towards the sabab rather than the illat. لأنه علة العلة معنى. Because it is the illat of the illat. So a direct cause, for a direct cause, can be treated as the direct cause. كَالَّذِي سَاقَ دَابَّةً فَذَلِفَ بِوَطْئِهَا شَيْءٌ يَضْمَنُ. Like a person drives an animal, and then because of its trampling over something, a thing is destroyed. Yadmanu, he will be responsible. Okay, you pull the reins or you pull the rope of an animal and it starts to run, and then it tramples somebody's property, okay, or it harms someone, hurts someone or their property. Then the illat is that the animal itself running. But because the animal can't be held responsible, we look at what is the illat for the illat. So the illat for the illat is that person pulling it. Therefore, that person is responsible. Just like if you're in a car, and you know, you push the accelerator, and you're driving fast, and then you run someone over, you can't say, oh, the car was going too fast, it's not my fault. Yes, it's true that the illah was, you know, the momentum of the car. You might have even tried to stop, but because the car was going so fast, but you made the car go fast. So you can't hold the car responsible. Will hold the driver responsible. That is illatul illah. لِأَنَّ الدَّابَّةَ لَا اخْتِيَارَ لَهَا فِي فِعْلِهَا. Because the animal has no choice in its action. سيما إذا كان معها سائقها، especially when it has the driver with it، فيكون السبب في معنى العلة. Therefore the سبب is in the meaning of علة، فيضاف الحكم إليه. So the attribution of the ruling will be towards it. Number three، قد يقام السبب مقام العلة لتعذر الاطلاع على العلة. Sometimes because it is difficult to ascertain and to know what the illa is, then the سبب takes the place of the illa. تيسيرا للأمر على المكلف in order to make the matter easy for the individual. كالنوم الثقيل أقيم مقام الحدث. Like heavy sleep has been put in place of breaking of wudu. Okay. So what breaks wudu is passing of wind. But when a person is sleeping, how is he going to know if it's past wind or not? Therefore, sleep has been made qa'im maqam, and sleep stands in place of passing wind. والخلوة أقيمت مقام الوطء. And being alone, being secluded, for a husband and wife to be secluded, is in place of intercourse. Okay? So, generally the ruling is, if a man and woman get do nikah, and they haven't had any intercourse, they haven't been together, and the man divorces his wife before any relations, before consummating the marriage, then there are certain rulings. There is no iddah on her, and she gets half the mahar. On the other hand, if the marriage has been consummated, then she must stay in the iddah period, and she will get the full mahar. Now, sometimes what happens is khalwat sahiha happens, meaning they were both alone and they had the opportunity to have intercourse. Nothing was there to stop them, but they did not have intercourse. Now, in this case, if we say that it depends if they had intercourse or not, then that will put them in an embarrassing position. Okay, whenever somebody gets married, and you know, after 1 or 2 days, after a short while, if they get divorced, then the mufti will have to ask the question, did you sleep together or not? If we did, then it's full mahar. If we didn't, then it's half mahar. And that puts them, you know, it forces them to disclose a part of their private life which is not praiseworthy in Islam. Therefore, Sharia says that no, if they had the opportunity, then it's as if they had the intercourse. She will get her full mahar regardless. Okay? And she will have to stay in iddah regardless of whether they had intercourse or not. So, Khalwat al-Sahiha is in the place of Wati. Wati was the original sabab. And Khalwat al-Sahiha was a, sorry, Wati was the illa. And Khalwat al-Sahiha was the sabab. Because you need Khalwat, you need to be secluded to have intercourse. So the sabab has been given the status of illa. And in other words, Khalwat al-Sahiha has been given the status of Wati, intercourse. وَالسَّفَرُ أُقِيمَ مَقَامًا وَشَقَّةِ فِي حَقِّ الرُّخْصَةِ. Safar has been given the status of difficulty in terms of the ruqsa, in terms of the ease in salah. So we know in Safar you only need 2 rakats if you're traveling more than 48 miles. But nowadays a person could be, you know, on a private jet, or he could be in a luxury car. There's no tiredness, no difficulty. Okay, sometimes in 1 hour you end up traveling more than 50, 60 miles, and you're a musafir. So there's no real difficulty and hardship, which is a sabab. But to measure hardship, to measure difficulty, is impossible almost, because everybody's threshold is different. Some people can travel long distances without getting tired. Some people get tired in even short distances. So Sharia said the distance of 3 days and 3 nights is the threshold. If you go above that, you are a musafir. Okay, even though that was the sabab, but it's given the status of illah. Number 4, قَدْ يُسَمَّى غَيْرُ السَّبَبِ سَبَبًا مَجَازًا. Sometimes something other than the sabab is referred to as the sabab by way of majaz. كَالْيَمِينِ يُسَمَّى سَبَبًا لِلْكَفَّارَةِ وَسَبَبًا فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ وَالْحِنْتِ. Like the yameen is referred to as the sabab for kafara. If somebody says, Wallahi, I will not talk to this person. Then he talks to that person. Now he needs to give kafara yameen, which is mentioned in the Quran. So the sabab for kafara is him talking to that person. But still, we call it kafaratul yameen. So yamin, as if the yamin is the cause for the kafara. In reality, the cause for the kafara is his talking, his breaking of the yamin. Hence means to break an oath. So the cause for kafara is breaking the oath, not the oath itself, but majazan, we refer to the oath as the sabab. Bayan wa'd al-asbab. So different worships have been given certain asbab and causes based on, a certain indications of Sharia by the fuqaha. And the reason is for this is so we can understand when that action becomes farz. Okay. For example, let's take salah. Salah is farz because Allah said it's farz. Okay. But how do I know? Allah doesn't send an instruction every salah time that come and pray salah now. So the times of salah are the signs when the sun reaches dawn. Now I know it's farz time. When it reaches zenith, then I know now it's zuhr time, and so on. So these asbab are not really the causes. The true cause is Allah's instruction. But these sabab show us that they are that the farz is now incumbent on you. Therefore, they are referred to as asbab. So, اعلم أن سبب وجوب الصلاة على الوقت. No, that the sabab for salah being wajib is time. Therefore, only when the time comes, the salah is wajib. So, if somebody dies at night, then that fajr is not wajib on him. Or if a child becomes baligh in the morning, then last night's isha is not wajib on him. For sabab wujub الصوم شهود الشهر. The sabab for صوم being wajib is being present in the month. Because like I said, فمن شهد منكم الشهر أقم الصلاة أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وسبب وجوب الزكاة ملك النصاب النامي حقيقة أو حكما. The sabab for zakat being obligatory is ownership of such a nisab. Nisab means the threshold amount of wealth after which zakat becomes farz. For different types of commodities, the nisab is different. But it must be nami. It must be such a nisab which increases. Haqiqatan, sometimes the nisab increases in reality, physically. For example, with regards to animals, that they have children, and then those children have children, they grow, they get bigger. So haqiqatan, they are growing and they are increasing. Aw hukman, or in meaning, like gold and silver. The gold and silver, even if you have coins in a bag at home and you don't do anything with it, but they have the potential to increase. You have the potential to go into the markets, okay, and buy some commodities and then sell those and get more gold. So even though hakikat then they may not be increasing, but because they have the potential to increase, we consider them to be increasing. And therefore zakat is wajib just by having them. وسبب وجوب الحج البيت. The sabab of Hajj being wajib is the Kaaba. And there's only one Kaaba, so there's only one Hajj farz in a lifetime. Okay? Whereas with the others, every time the month comes, you have to fast. Every time you own the Nisab, Zakat will become farz. But the shart is 1 year passes with it. And وسبب وجوب صدقة الفطر رأس يمونه ويلي عليه. The sabab of wujub of صدقة الفطر is the existence of an individual whose expenditure one is responsible for and who one takes care of. This wording is also based on the hadith. وسبب وجوب العشر الأراضي النامية حقيقة وسبب وجوب الخراج الأراضي الصالحة للزراعة. Okay, there's two types of lands, عشري and خراجي. In books of fiqh and hadith, there's detailed mention of this. Generally, we can say عشر is lands which are originally belong to Muslims, Muslim lands, and Kharaji are non-Muslim lands. So on the Ushri lands, you only pay 10% of the produce. Okay, so if you have produce, you pay 10%. If you don't have produce, you don't pay anything. Whereas when it comes to Kharaji land, then the Islamic government can specify an amount, and then that needs to be paid regardless of whether there is produce or not. Okay, so with regards to ushur, the sabab of wujub of ushur is land which have increase which bear produce hakikatan in reality, physically or actually. So if there's no produce in a certain year, you don't need to pay anything. Okay. وسبب وجوب الخراج الأراضي الصالحة للزراعة. The سبب for the wujub of kharaj in is such lands which have the potential of farming. So if you have a kharaji land and you could have farmed in it, but you didn't bother, okay, then that's your fault. You still have to pay that kharaj because you could have farmed it if you wanted to. So with ushr, it's hakikatan. You only pay if you get produce. With kharaj, it's as-salihah liz-zara'ah. As long as the potential is there, even if you didn't get any produce, you still have to pay that amount. وسبب وجوب الوضوء الصلاة عند البعض والحدث عند الآخرين. The سبب for وضوء being wajib is صلاة according to some. Because if there's no صلاة, then وضوء will never be wajib. And it is حدث according to others. Okay, the not having wudu. But if the sabab is salah, then hadath is shart for it. And if the sabab is shart, then wujub salah is shart for it. If the sabab is hadath, then wujub salah is shart for it. Wujub salati shartun. Oh, he's mentioned here actually. The wujub in, if we say hadath is the sabab, then wujub of salah is the shart of wujub. So if you've prayed your Isha, and still Isha time, then wuzu is not wajib on you, even though you may have broken your wuzu. But now when Fajr becomes Farz, now wuzu becomes wajib. So the shart is there as well. Wujub al-ghusl al-haydh wal-nifas wal-janabah. The sabab for ghusl and being wajib is haydh, nifas, and janabah. After these three things, one must do ghusl. Bayanu mawani' al-illah. We've learned previously that whenever the illah is found, then the hukam must be found. The relevant hukam must be found. Because illah is a direct cause. And the whole definition of illah is that it's a direct cause. There's nothing between the illah and the hukam. And whenever the illah is found, the hukam must be found. But there are some cases where we have the illah, but still the hukam is not there. And why is that? Because there is a mani', there is an impediment, something is stopping the illat from having its effect. So we need to study what those mawani' are. So there's four impediments, four things which can stop the illat from having its usual effect. Number one, mani'un yamna'u in'iqad al-illah. Kabay' al-hurri wal-maytati wa-dami. Fa'inna adma al-mahalliyati yamna'u in'iqad al-bay'i. That it's such an impediment which prevents the illah from occurring altogether, completely stops it. Like selling a free person or a dead animal or blood. Generally, if you have an item and ijab and qabul occur, offer and acceptance, then the item is sold. Okay, if I say to you, I sell you this, and you say, I've bought it, then the sale is concluded. And the hukam of that is that ownership is transferred. But if the thing which is being sold is not wealth in itself, it's not a commodity, it's not something which can be sold, then in that case, this is a mani, and the bay is not concluded. فَإِنَّ عَدْمَ الْمَحَلِّيَّةِ يَمْنَعُونَ إِقَادَ الْبَيْءِ. Because the fact that it does not have the potential to be sold, it is not a subject of a sale, stops the bay from being concluded. Number two is mani'un yamna'u tamam al-illah, an impediment which stops or impedes the completion of the illah. So the illah occurs, and because of that, because the illah has occurred, the hukam is also there, but it's incomplete. Okay, كهلاك النصابي أثناء الحول يمنع وجوب الزكاة. For example, we mentioned earlier that the cause for zakat being wajib is milk nisab. The person owns more than the amount, let's say 500 pounds, for example, it's around 200 or something pounds at the moment. So if somebody owns receives 1,000 pounds on the first of Muharram, then the following year on the first of Muharram, If they have that amount, only then zakat becomes wajib. So, even though the illat was there, but it's incomplete until a year passes. Therefore, zakat does not become farz until a whole year passes. So, if a person loses the nisab during the year, then this stops zakat being wajib. Number three, mani'un yamna'u ibtida' al-hukam, a impediment which prevents the beginning, the initiation of the hukam. In other words, the hukam is delayed. كالبيع بشرط الخيار يمنع ثبوت الملك. For example, selling with شرط الخيار, شرط الخيار, خيار الشرط, you may have studied in fiqh, where you sell something but you say, give me 3 days to think about it. Or the buyer says, give me 3 days to think about it. So it stops the establishment of ownership. Okay, the other person doesn't become the owner until that time passes, even though the bay is concluded. So generally, as soon as a sale, a transaction is concluded, ownership is transferred, but khiyar al-shart can delay transfer of ownership, even though the bay is complete. And number four, mani'un yamna'u dawam al-hukm, an impediment which stops the permanent nature of the hukm. So the hukm is established, but it's not permanent, it has an expiry. It can stop at some point. كخيار البلوغ يمنع دوام النكاح, like the choice at time of bulugh stops the permanent nature of the nikah. Yeah. If somebody other than the father or grandfather marries off a child, when the child becomes baligh and mature, they have a choice and they can cancel that nikah if they weren't happy with it. So even though the nikah was done, all the conditions were fulfilled and the nikah is there, but it's not permanent because at the time of bulugh there is possibility of it being broken. Okay, al-ahkam taklifiyah, the different types of ahkam. So through the usul we establish rulings. Now what kind of rulings are there? So shar'i rulings are categorized as fard and sunnah and nafl, and then these have their subcategories. And on the other side, you have haram and makruh. Okay, and then makruh tahrimi, makruh tanzihi. So these are explained. Al-fardhu huwa lughatan at-taqdir. Farz literally means to fix an amount. So why are farz called farz? Because their amounts are fixed. In salah, in zakah, in sawm, there's a specific amount that you have to do. Whereas when it comes to nafl, there's no specific amount. You can do as much as you want. وَشَرْعًا مَا ثَبَتَ بِدَلِيلٍ قَطْعِيٍّ لَا شُبْهَةَ فِيهِ. Farz is such an action which is established by a قَطْعِي دَلِيل, a conclusive دَلِيل which has no doubt in it. And حُكْمُهُ is ruling is لُزُومُ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ وَالْاَعْتِقَادِ بِهِ. Is necessary to act upon it and believe in it. فَجُحُودُهُ كُفْرٌ. Therefore to deny it is kufr. We've already discussed this earlier. الْوَاجِبُ مِنَ الْوُجُوبِ وَهُوَ السُّقُوطُ. The word wajib comes from wujub, which means to fall. So why is it called wajib? Some say because it falls slightly below farz. Others say because it falls onto the person. Or it's from wajaba, which means haraka. So it's in between two. It's in between nafal and farz. Ma thabata bidaleel fihi shubhatun. It is that which is established with a daleel in which there is some doubt. So wajib is like farz, but the daleel is not qat'i. Kal ayat al-mu'awwala, like those verses which have been interpreted, so they're not clear cut. وَالصَّحِيحِ مِنْ أَخْبَارِ الْآحَادِ, and the authentic khabar wahid ahadith, كَصَلَاةِ الْوِتْرِ وَالْعِيدَيْنِ, like the salah of witr and eidain. Okay, so if you read the hadith of witr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased one salah for you in addition to the five salahs, and that is witr. Based on the wording, witr should be farz just like the other five salahs. But because this hadith is not mutawatir and it's not as widely transmitted as the five farz salah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi gave witr the status of wajib and not farz. Same with eidain. Hukmuhu huwa farzun fi haqqi al-amri bihi. The ruling is that it is farz in terms of acting upon it. In terms of practicality, wajib and farz are the same. Hatta la yajuzu tarkuhu, so it is not permissible to leave it. It would be a sin to leave it. وَنَفْلٌ فِي حَقِّ الْإِعْتِقَادِ, but it is like nafl in terms of believing. Meaning it's like nafl in the sense that one who denies it will not be kafir. فَلَا يَلْزُمُنَا الْإِعْتِقَادُ بِهِ, it is not necessary for us to believe it. Meaning, it's not necessary as a condition for iman. Okay, the person will be sinful if he denies it without reason, but it's not necessary as part of our iman. For juhudu without willingness to deny it with some interpretation. Like Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh says, witr is not wajib, but he has a valid interpretation. Not it's not just based on his whim and his desire. Then laysa bikufr, it's not kufr either way. But if somebody denies it for no reason, then it will be a sin and fisq. But if it's denied with a reason, with ijtihad, then it's not a sin either. Number three, as sunnah, lughatan at tariqah. Sunnah means tariqah. The word sunnah has more than one meaning in its usage, but only the usage, the fiqhi meaning is mentioned here. So, washar'an in, so lugha in, literally, sunnah is a path. And in Sharia, it is that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced regularly, or the Khulafa'ur Rashidun after him. Because the hadith is alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al khulafa'i rashidin min ba'di. Adhu alayha bin nawajiz. The ruling is yutalab al mar'u bi ihya'iha. A person is expected to revive them and practice them. Wa yastahiqqu al malamata ala tarkiha. He is blameworthy for leaving them. Illa an yatrukaha ahyanan aw bi udhrin, unless he leaves them sometimes or due to a valid reason. So if somebody regularly leaves sunnah without any valid reason, then this is blameworthy. It's something to be, you know, he should be told off, he should be advised not to do that, even though it may not be a sin. And naflu lughatan az-ziyada. Literally, nafl means something additional or extra. Wa shar'an ma huwa ziyadatun ala al-fara'id wal wajibat. In Sharia, nafl is something in addition to the fara'id and wajibat. Wa yuqalu lahu tatawwu' wal mandub aydan. They are also known as at-tatawwu' or mandub. حكمه يثاب المرء على فعله. A person is rewarded for doing them, ولا يعاقب بتركه. So he will not be punished for leaving them. Now, on the opposite side, so farz, wajib, sunnat, nafal, these are things we should do. So the opposite things we shouldn't do. ومناهي الشرعي ثلاثة أقسام. The prohibitions of Sharia are of three types. الحرام ضد الحلال. Haram is the opposite of halal. وهو ما طلب تركه فعله بدليل قطعي لا شبهة فيه كالزنا والسرقة ونحوهما. It is those things where one is expected to leave doing it due to some proof in which there is no doubt, like fornication and stealing and the likes. حكمه, the ruling is لزوم الاعتقاد بنهيه. It is necessary to believe in its prohibition. Just like farz, if someone denies it, they are kafir. Someone denies the hurmat of haram, they are also kafir. وَوُجُوبُ الْإِجْتِنَابِ عَنِ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ. And it is necessary to refrain from acting upon them. وَجُحُودُهُ كُفْرٌ. To deny is kufr. وَتَرْكُهُ يُجِبُ الْمَدْحَ وَالثَّوَابِ. And to leave it, to not practice on a haram, necessitates praiseworthiness and reward.
وَارْتِكَابُهُ بِدُونِ عُذْرٍ يُجِبُ الْعِقَابِ.
And to carry it out without any reason necessitates punishment in the hereafter, and sometimes in this world as well.
Al-makruh karahat tahrimin.
So the second is makruh tahrimi. Makruh tahrimi is like the relation of makruh tahrimi to haram is the same as the relation of wajib to farz. In practice, it's haram, but in the i'tiqad, it's not haram, meaning the jahid is not kafir. It is that where one is expected to leave carrying it out due to a proof in which there is some doubt. كَتَحْرِيمِ كُلِّ دِنَابٍ مِنَ السِّبَاعِ. Like the prohibition of consuming and eating predatory animals. Dinab, literally, which have canines, and siba, predatory animals, from sab'un, because they usually have 7 months pregnancy. وَذِي مِخْرَبٍ مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. And predatory birds, which have claws. وَالْحِمَارِ الْأَهْلِيِّ. And the donkey. These are all makruh tahrimi because it's not permissible to eat them, but the dalail and aqdiyya.
Hukmu luzum al-ijtinabi an al-amal bihi.
It is necessary to refrain from acting upon them. Ma'a ghalabati al-zan bi hurmatihi. With most probable thought that they are haram. Fajuhuduhu bidun ta'wilin dalalun. So to refuse this without any ta'wil, any valid interpretation, is misguidance. والعمل به دون عذر وتأويل يوجب الذنب والعقاب. And to practice them without any reason or interpretation necessitates blameworthiness and punishment.
المكروه كراهة تنزيه، وهو ما كان الأصل فيه الحرمة، فسقطت لعموم البلوى كسور الهرة. مكروه تنزيه is something where in originally it should be haram, but the حرمة has been waived due to عموم البلوى, due to people being excessively involved in it. So it would have been difficult to make it haram. كسور الهرة, like the leftover water of a cat. So Qiyas tells us that those animals which hunt other animals and eat them, their leftover water is haram, is najis. So leftover water of a cat will also be najis. But it's not najis, it's rather it's only makruh because of the haraj that is there. Or this is one definite, this is one type of makruh tanzih. أو ما كان الأصل فيه الإباحة. Sometimes مكروه تنزيه is that where in origin it should be permitted. فعرض ما أخرجه عنها. However, something came in between which took it away from permissibility. ولم يغلب على الظن تحريمه. However, the probable thought is not for it to be haram. كسوري سباع الطير, like the leftover water of predatory animals. That is generally the leftover water of all birds is clean. But because these birds rip apart other animals and eat them, there is a chance that it should be haram. Therefore, we call it makruh tanzih. حكمه يساوي تاريخه أدنى ثواب. Ruling is that if you leave it, then you get some ثواب. ولا يعاقب فاعله أصلا. However, the one who carries out a makruh tanzih will not be punished at all. However, some ulama have mentioned that if you constantly do a makruh tanzih deliberately, if you make a habit of makruh tanzih, then that is a sin. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the final discussion in the kitab now is of azimat and rukhsat. Azimat, in relation to rukhsat, sometimes you have an action where there are two options. One is the more preferable and the stronger option, that is the azima. And the second one is the easier option, that is the rukhsa. So there's some rulings around azimat and rukhsa to be mentioned here. وَالْمَشْرُوعَاتُ عَلَى نَوْعَيْنِ. All legislated actions are of two types, azimat and rukhsa. العزيمة لغة القصد المؤكد. Literally, عزيمة means an emphasized intention, a firm intention. So when you really have a firm intention to do something, that is azm. Like, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. So the messengers are referred to as أُولُو الْعَزْمِ because their resolve and their intention was very strong. وَشَرْعًا ما لزمنا من الأحكام ابتداء. And in Sharia, azima is those rulings which have been legislated for us originally. The original ruling. Okay, there's not been any change to it, meaning there's no ease there. وأقسامها ما ذكرنا من الفرض والواجب إلى آخر. And then all the different types of farz wajib are included in them. Number two, الرخصة. لغة اليسر والسهولة. Literally, رخصة means ease. يسر, سهولة, both mean ease. وشرعا, in Sharia, صرف الأمر من عسر إلى يسر. In Sharia, رخصة is to turn or to change a ruling from difficulty to ease. So sometimes there's a ruling in Sharia, but then Sharia gives us changes the ruling due to certain circumstances and makes it easier for us. وَهِيَ عَلَى نَوْعَيْنِ. This is of two types. رُخْصَةُ الْفِعْلِ مَعَ بَقَاءِ الْحُرْمَةِ مِثْلُ الْإِكْرَاهِ عَلَى إِجْرَائِكَ الْمَذْكُورِ فَعَلَى لِذَاتِ مَا يَخَافُ مِنْهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَعَلَى عُضْوٍ مِنْ أَعْضَائِهِ بِشَيْءٍ بِشَرْطِ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنًا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And the second one, ما استبيح مع قيام السبب مثل الإكراه على أكل الميتة وشرب الخمر وكذا من اضطر من مخمصة. I'll explain this first, then I'll translate it. There are two cases where something haram is made halal for us. One is somebody puts a gun to your head and says, say you're a Christian, say Jesus is son of God, or I'm going to shoot you. Okay? In that case, you have a choice. You can either say those words just on the surface of your tongue, even though in your heart you are a Muslim, and save your life, and you will not be sinful. Or you could refuse to say those words, and then if the person shoots you, then you will be rewarded, you will not be sinful. So you have both options, and both are permissible. Okay? The azimat is to remain silent and not say anything and let them shoot you, and the rukhsa is to say those words of kufr and save your life. Okay? On the other hand, another example is if a person is starving and he has some haram food in front of him. Okay, he has some maita, some carrion. Now he has two options. He can either eat the haram food and save his life, or he can refuse to eat the haram food and die. In this case, it will not be permissible to take the second option, meaning you must eat that food and save your life. If that person says, no, I'm not going to eat this, it's haram, and he ends up dying, then he will actually be sinful for allowing himself to die. Okay? Now, the question is, why the difference? That in the first example, whichever choice he takes is permissible. In the second option, he has to save his life, otherwise, he will be sinful. The reason is that in the first scenario, he is being told to utter a kalima of kufr. And a kalima of kufr is something which can never be permitted. And likewise, allowing oneself to die is also not permitted. So he has the option between two harams. He has to choose either uttering kalima kufr, which is haram, or he has to choose allowing himself to die, which is also haram. So in this case, he has choice between two harams, so he will have whichever he chooses, he will be they will be permissible for him. In the second example, the food was haram, and allowing himself to starve to death is also haram. But due to this makhmasa and this extreme hunger, that food has now become halal for him. Okay? That food which was previously haram has now become halal. Like I mentioned earlier, kufr is something which can never be halal in any circumstance. But food, it does have the potential, haram food has the potential to be halal. Wine was halal at one point, even some Sahaba used to drink it, then it was made haram later. So likewise, the haram meat has the potential to be halal. Therefore, when a person has nothing else and he has absolutely no choice, he's going to starve, then that food for that short period of time, the little amount of food has become halal for him. So he has a choice between a haram and a halal. So now, if he, okay, the haram is allowing himself to die, and the halal is consuming that meat. So when you have a choice between haram and halal, of course you have to take the halal, which is consuming the meat. So if he doesn't consume it, and he chooses the haram of allowing himself to die, then he will be sinful. So that's why there's a difference between the two. So the first one is rukhsatul fi'li ma'a baqa'il hurma, permissibility of the action despite the hurma remaining. For example, being forced to bring the word of kufr on the tongue, bima yukhafu minhu ala nafsihi, because one fears over his life, أو على عضو من أعضائه, or part of his body, بشرط أن يكون قلبه مطمئنا بالإيمان, with the condition that his heart is content with إيمان. حكمه, the ruling of this is, لو صبر عليه حتى قتل لكان مأجورا. If the person is patient until he is killed, he will be rewarded. لتعظيمه نهي الشارعي, due to his glorifying and respecting the prohibition of the legislator. Number two, مستبيح مع قيام السبب, that which is permitted despite the سبب remaining مثل الإكراه على أكل الميتة like being forced to consume carrion وشرب الخمر and drinking wine وكذا من اضطر من مخمصة and likewise one who is forced due to extreme hunger. Okay, so either somebody puts a gun to your head and says, "Eat this haram, or I'll shoot you," or due to extreme hunger. In both cases, he either has a choice to save his life or eat haram. In that case, he must eat the haram and save his life. And if he doesn't, he will be sinful. حكمه لا يمتنع عن تناوله if he refuses to consume it حتى قتل, because of which he is killed أو مات or dies. يكون آثما, he will be sinful لامتناعه عن المباح due to his refusing a halal. تم الكتاب والحمد لله. So the book has now been completed and all praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. May Allah ta'ala accept our reading. May Allah ta'ala reward us in this world and the hereafter. May Allah ta'ala forgive my and our shortcomings in studying this book. May Allah ta'ala forgive the author and raise his ranks in terms of those, and wa fu da'wana alhamdulillah.